Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, the 15th of August, the Church remembers and celebrates the faith of Mary, the Mother of our Lord, the Theotokos, that is, the God-bearer, a confession not just of who she is, but of the child that grew inside of her, that she gave birth to, that she cared for and nursed, and then had to watch grow up. Mary is the most important woman in all of history. And it's unfortunate that oftentimes there are church bodies that will fall off of the Mary horse on one side or the other. There are many things that we do agree about. We agree that this is a woman who was a virgin. When God chose her to be the mother of the salvation of the world, she was a virgin. And through the centuries, many confessed that she retained that virginity for the rest of her life. Now, I'm not going to get into the finer details of that today, but do know that centuries upon centuries of Christians, Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Protestants confessed that to be the case. There are other things that we agree about. We agree that this is a young girl who was chosen for a very special cause. Her vocation as mother was the most important thing that God gave her to be. And it's one of the most important vocations there continues to be. There are some things that we do disagree about with the Church of Rome. Some of those happen to be dogma in the Roman Catholic Church. That is, they must be believed to be a Roman Catholic still today. Two of those things include the assumption of Mary. You see, if you were to walk into a Roman Catholic church today, they would be celebrating the Assumption of Mary. Well, what is the Assumption of Mary, you are probably wondering? That is the belief that at the end of her days, God assumed her or took her up into heaven, body and soul. Now, is it impossible for God to do such a thing? Absolutely not. He has done it earlier in history. Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire. Enoch also did not see death. But I do believe that if Mary would have bodily went up into heaven, at least St. John might have written about it. Now, is that to say she couldn't have been? I'm not willing to go that route. But to make it a doctrine, a dogma, which must be believed, I do believe is too far. While it had been speculated that this was the case, at least starting in the 5th century, it was not made a dogma, that is, that doctrine that you must believe, until 1950. This is a very recent dogma. But the one that I have to disagree with the most is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Now, there are many people, including Roman Catholics, who misunderstand this feast. They think that the Feast of the Immaculate Conception is actually celebrating Jesus' conception. But that's not the case. This is a day set aside to celebrate, in their view, when Mary was conceived. That her parents conceived her without sin. And this must be denied. Every person born from Adam and Eve was sinful. Every single person except one. Jesus Christ was immaculate. He was without sin. And he came to save the whole world, including his mother. You see, the concept here is how can the finite hold the infinite? How can something that is sinful hold something that is sinless? But you and I do it every single day. For we are sinners. We are fallen. And yet your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. In your baptism, you have received him into yourself, that you are walking around both sinner and saint. This dogma of the Immaculate Conception was passed in 1854. So when you consider the 2,000-year history of the church, that's also very new. There's one other that I want to talk about on that side, and I know you know it well, and that is praying to Mary and to the saints. The concept, as it's been explained to me, is that if you want something from your father, you go and ask your mother. And that is why they pray to Mary. The thing is that we are not worthy to pray to God on our own accounts. And so I understand the concept of the fallenness of mankind, the unworthiness to pray to God the Father. But the thing is because you have been washed in those waters, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has opened now a portal to the Father. When he gives us the prayer that we are to pray, we pray our Father. That's because in your baptism, you have received the adoption as a son of the Most High God. We see this in Galatians 4. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You are a son of the Most High God. And even though your sin makes you unworthy to pray to God directly, because of the sinlessness of Jesus Christ, because of your adoption into that body of Christ, you have a direct line to the Father. So we don't need to quibble about whether or not the saints hear our prayers, whether or not the saints pray for us, because certainly all the host of heaven prays for the church here on earth. But we do have a direct line to the Father. You are called to pray to God directly, not on your own account, but on the account of Jesus Christ. But if we have such a knee-jerk reaction to these abuses in the Roman Catholic Church, sometimes we fall off the horse on the other side. Sometimes we say, well, that woman was important at that time, and she really doesn't matter that much, and because there are abuses, we won't give her the respect that is due. But as I already said, this is the most important woman in all of history. Not because she was better than anyone else, not because she was sinless, but because of her faith in the God that grew inside of her. The God that she birthed, the God that she nursed, the God that she ultimately had to watch suffer death. If you've lost a child, you can understand that pain that she must have endured. She was told what his purpose was. And she submitted herself completely to the will of God. She shows us what the vocation of woman and mother are here on earth. She submits herself to God's will. She follows it even if it doesn't completely make sense to her. And she believes it with her whole heart. She says, "Let it be done to me as you have said." And she goes forth. And she goes to spend time with her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant. Elizabeth, at this time, is about 6 months pregnant with St. John the Baptist, the forerunner. And if you want to see just how pro-life God is and how magnificent faith is, even in the womb, our text today shows that explicitly. For as Mary goes to her cousin Elizabeth, as she greets Elizabeth, as her words hit her ears, St. John the Baptist leaps for joy. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, if you have any Roman Catholic relatives, or if you've come from that background, those words are probably going to sound familiar to you, along with the words, let's see, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." All of those words come directly from Scripture, and all of those words are fine in and of themselves, except for the last line. "Mother Mary, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death." As we've already established, we do not need Mary to pray for us. We need to pray directly to the Father, for he has promised to hear us. But she is blessed. For as she approached, St. John the Baptist leaps for joy at what is now conceived inside of this young woman. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She confesses who this seed is, that he is the son of David and yet David's Lord, and that her child leaps for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary breaks out in a song that we sang today, a song that has been retained in Vespers for many, many centuries, where we sing along with Mary, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced." Notice she doesn't say, "rejoiced in myself for who I am." Rather, she says, "in God my Savior." You see, she recognizes her need for salvation. She recognizes her need for the Savior. And she has already been told what would occur. Mary knew that her son would grow, and that at some point, according to the Father's will, he would suffer death for all people. She went on to say, "For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." That is why to this day we retain the phrase Blessed Virgin Mary, for she is blessed among women. In our current society, we have forgotten just what makes women so beautiful, what makes them apart from men. In a world that tries to tell you that women are inferior to men unless they act and work like men, we have failed to recognize the beauty that is God's creation of male for their use and female for their use. And one of the greatest uses that he gives to many women, not all, but many, is the ability to procreate, to be a part of God's creation. Women are given by God, not all, but many, what no man, no matter what your society tells you, is able to do, and that is to grow life and to care and nurture that life. Mary submitted herself to God's will. She followed him completely. She failed at times because she was a sinner, and yet she focused on God, her Savior, crying out, "Holy is his name." The fullness of time had come. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. None of this was an accident. God knew exactly what his plan was before creation. And he knew when Mary would be. He knew when the peace of Rome would be ready, when all of the highways and byways would be prepared, when Greek would be established, so that his word would go into the world, that we might hear it and receive adoption. That we might hear it as it is attached to bread and wine, that what you receive today is the body and blood of this baby that she grew inside of. Submit yourself to the will of God as an example, as Mary did, and receive the blessings of not her name, but his. The church sings, "Oh, that birth forever blessed, when the Virgin full of grace, by the Holy Ghost conceiving, bore the Savior of our race. And the babe, the world's Redeemer, first revealed his sacred face, evermore and evermore. Amen." The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.